We see the love that God demonstrated in verse 9 through 11. He gives these examples of how he intervened for them. And the challenge really is, did they remember the faithfulness and the love of God shown to them? Did they forget? And this is a challenge to us. We stray when we forget. God is so loving. He brought them to a land that had giants, the Amorites. These were wicked people, and they were far stronger from a human standpoint. The spies came back and said, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, that they were frightened. But Joshua and Caleb said, well, the Lord, we can overcome because the Lord's with us. Well, they were the only two that went into the land of that generation. But the Amorite was delivered from the children of Israel. They were spared, and these people were destroyed, removed. And then verse 10, what a deliverance in their history. If they look back in their history, what a deliverance out of the bondage of slavery into a place of liberty and freedom and the joy of the Lord, into a land flowing with milk and honey, the love of the Lord towards them. This is who our God is. He loves us. Sometimes we look and we say, well, what about that unbelieving person that seems so prosperous? I want to be like them. I want to live a life like that. What? When we have such a loving Lord, why would we want that? And this is this. This is the Amorites. This is the Egypt of our history. We've been delivered from it. And then finally, God also raised up, even in our day, he raises up those that would challenge when we fail. Sometimes it's a lowly believer coming to us who we would hear them say, you know, is that right what you're doing? Just a simple challenge. And often God does that. But he raised up prophets in verse 11. He raised up Nazarites. And they had a choice. Were they going to listen to the Lord who loves them? And I think often before the Lord even brings into our life, we were asked, how does he discipline us? Well, I would suggest one thing. Often before he actually does the discipline or chastisement, he has already brought into our life warning. Turn away from what you're doing. Allow me to relent. The Lord speaking, allow me to relent the discipline you deserve. I want to show my love to you. You're living the wrong way. And these prophets and Nazarites were God's way of warning them. And yet we'll see further on that what they did to the ones that would speak on behalf of the Lord.
I'm reminding you of a verse in Proverbs chapter 14. In verse 34, and speaking with how God judges sin, he must judge sin because he's holy. Mm. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that includes us individually, even unsaved nations. God's judges often because of sin. And we're living in a day now, even as believers, there's a renaming of sin today, isn't there? Adultery now is an extramarital affair. The Bible calls it adultery. Homosexuality is gay. So as believers, we get caught up sometimes and not naming what sin is. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin as the Lord does. So we don't judge them, but we reach out to them because we know that this condition that they are in, they are in darkness. And they're sinning because they have no power and strength over the sin. But the Lord is holy, he is just, and he must judge sin. Individually in our own lives, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I just wanted to point that out. But you think of the United States right now as ripe for the judgment of God because of the immorality in our nation. And as believers, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we are to reprove it. We are to speak out against it in love.
I would like to just add a few thoughts in this. Christianity is founded upon the incarnation of the Son of God, His work of redemption on the cross, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to glory, where he is now. And if we think of or speak about for us to hold fast the word of God and the doctrine, we can do that even while we still fall into the snare of the enemy. To have the right doctrine, but not disassociate from the Lord Jesus, who is the perfect expression of all that we've been speaking about, what is pleasing to God. And we find in him, the Son of Man, as he was here incarnate in his walk and his life, every step he took was for the pleasure of God. He came to do his will, not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That will involved for him going to the cross. There he laid the basis for every blessing that can ever flow down from God towards man, and it's found and seen in him. And I could go on with that thought, but I think you've captured the thought that for us, we need to dwell close with the Lord. We need to enjoy these truths in communion with him. Not simply have a plaque on the wall somewhere or in our house of wonderful truths, even as to the presence of the Lord. If we don't realize this, living in it, in the enjoyment of it. And we cannot do that on our own. That is, we need daily the dependence upon the Lord. We need that cleaving to him, leaning upon him, in following him around, but leaning on him because we found there's a sure place where we can enjoy his love, enjoy his favor. We thank him for the discipline that he exercises because he knows far more or sooner than we even do if there's any bit of departure in my life from him. He knows, and he sends things along the way in order to draw me back and to keep me. That's how he deals with us individually, also assembly-wise. And I'm sure that's applied to us. We can apply this, must apply it to our assemblies. We might think, well, things are pretty good meeting we have. Is that the way the Lord would see it? Or does he see where there's strife? Or there's discontentment, or there's different kinds of struggle. What about nationwise, as our brother pointed out, as we, I have no question, as was pointed out, that judgment begins at the house of God. It has begun. It has begun. And when we see some of these catastrophic events, where whether believers or unbelievers, they're caught up in it, and there's no escape. When you think of the fires that have been burning, where they have to run for their life, and not all of them escape. When in the land of dearth, the fire comes. In another place, the flood comes, sweeps the houses away. And these are things that are happening today. Is God not in control? He is a control of the affairs among men, and he is concerned about them in every detail of what happens to the nations. And that's what we see in Amos. He deals with each nation separately according to the particular guilt that characterized them, whether it's Moab or whether it's Edom. And what he has promised or what he has stated in his word will come to pass. But there will be, in the midst of those judgments, that's wonderful, that there's the hand of grace stretched out, that God has been pointed out, that he is anxious. He knows which those that are his in the midst of that. And he is there to give comfort and to sustain, which the others, the unbeliever, does not have. He does not have that comfort.